the postman. He put it in his sack. Bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back.
She wrote about it.
Return to sender. Address unknown. No such number. No such song. We had a quarrel. A lover's spat.
I write, I'm sorry, but my letter keeps coming back.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. That's Elvis, returning to sender. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you very much for being with us on this Monday, January the 29th. Wow, we have rolled through this month quickly, have we not? In a few minutes, Ian Murray of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will join us, and we are going to talk to him about how the feds are making life pretty much unbearable. Unbearable for independent contractors and freelancers in our so-called land of the free. Stay tuned for that, if you would, just a few minutes. And what will Biden do now that three U.S. military people were killed in a drone attack linked to Iran? Is he going to do anything, really? We will take a look at the pressure for the U.S. to mount a revenge attack on Tehran. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to take a hard look at our national debt and discuss what might really happen to the U.S. economically if it continues on course. Stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one, we think. Do you like to go to national parks? We're going to give you the top 10 deadliest, as in where you could die, deadliest national parks. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works, by the way, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, there is no better place that I have ever found than Andrew Ceresi's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. It's located just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call for an appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, tree growth, bring on the trees, whatever, stump grinding. Arbor Life, Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. All right, so you knew eventually that all of the game playing, or whatever you want to call it, with these attacks in the Red Sea area in the Mideast was going to eventually end up in some U.S. military deaths. And Iran is trying to wash its hands of the drone attack that killed those three people. They claim that the accusations of its involvement are baseless. The foreign ministry spokesman claimed that resistance groups in the region do not take orders from Iran, so they want to wash their hands. In the meantime, Biden, facing calls from congressional hawks to go after the people that did this and to narrow in on Tehran. Everybody believes Iran's is behind this. Senator Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called for serious crippling costs to Iran, quote, not only on frontline terrorist proxies, but on their Iranian sponsors who wear American blood as a badge of honor. Lindsey Graham, he's another hawk. He said in a statement, the attacks that the U.S. has carried out on Iranian proxies outside Iran will not deter Iranian aggression, and he's calling to strike targets of significance inside Iran. So then we got John Cornyn, another Republican, and he said that target Tehran. specifying he wants the U.S. to strike Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. So we've got lots of pressure. Now we've got, the Secretary of Defense finally back on the job? I think he finally showed up at the White House. Even Donald Trump yesterday reacted to the killing of those three service members. And by the way, there were at least 25 others that were wounded in that drone attack. It was in northeast Jordan. It was right on the Syrian border, by the way. Trump posted that the attack marks a horrible day for America. He said, my most profound sympathies go to the families. He said it's yet another horrific and tragic consequence of Joe Biden's weakness and surrender. He said this attack would never have happened if I was president. He said not even a chance. Just like the Iranian-backed Hamas attack on Israel would never have happened, the war in Ukraine would never have happened, and World War II and World War I would never have... Well, he didn't really say that. But he did say the others would never have happened if he had been president. And you know what? A lot of people buy into that. They buy into it because they would have worried about what Trump might have done. Even Putin.
The thing that bothers me is the reaction and the tone of Biden when this stuff is happening to our men and women overseas that are being, you know, remember last month, three were injured in a drone attack.
Yeah.
And Biden took his questions. Here's his, listen to his tone.
We will make sure that we respond to Houthis as they continue this outrageous behavior along with our allies. No. Iran does not want a war with us.
So he's just kind of answering the questions. Now, one thing he is passionate about is Donald Trump.
Oppose him. Vermin.
Listen to the difference.
Talks about the blood of America is being poisoned. Echoing the same exact language used in Nazi Germany.
You see the difference?
Yeah, he's more upset about Trump than he is about Americans being killed.
That's what I'm getting at.
It's very obvious. You know, the guy, look, we know that he's not even in complete control of what he's doing anymore. There are other people that are handling it. But they are so, you know, all these progressives running around the White House trying to figure, and they, you know, They want to keep their hands clean of any kind of a conflict. And what happens? We get deeper and murkier into these things.
He butchered South Carolina yesterday. On the stand, he said, South Carolina.
Yeah, he's been getting into some really strange phrases recently. It is kind of, it's really downright scary. But, you know, in the meantime, this is really something to see. I mean, despite what's going on, and the tensions that are mounting, you know, in the Israel area, Ukraine, even in China, the U.S. Navy is now going to lower the bar on enlistments. They are so low on people that want to join. They are now enlisting applicants who have not graduated from high school or even obtained a GED, which is the equivalent of a high school diploma. I mean, we're getting to the point where, you know, we're really dumbing down everything that's going on in this country, aren't we? You know? The new plan will allow recruits who do not have an education credential to enlist in the Navy as long as they score a 50 or above out of 99 on the so-called qualification test. The Navy reportedly turned away about 2,400 potential recruits last year because they lacked the educational qualities. Roughly 500 of those could have scored high enough to get in under the new rules.
I remember, you know, in high school being recruited. And they, yeah. they but they had
yeah, ROTCs and they would come on campus.
They had a basement that you had to be above to get into the military.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember, you know, you were really called some names.
Well, there were aptitude tests, and you had to pass certain. Sure, you had to understand stuff. You had to be able to read coherently. Right?
Now if you can spell your name, you're in.
If you can spell half your name, yeah. You're in. Yeah, it's getting downright scary. Anyway, let's take our break. When we come back, our buddy Ian Murray of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us. We are going to talk about how the feds are making life pretty much unbearable for independent contractors and freelancers in the so-called land of the free.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrews, Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It's Monday. It's kind of coolish out. I don't mind it. It's in the 50s driving in today. Just when we thought we were warming up again, Ed, but that's the way it goes, right? Delighted to have Ian Murray join us. He's the Vice President of Strategy and a senior fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about these federal regulatory agencies, which are making life very difficult for independent contractors, freelancers, and we're going to talk about where the left is going wrong on labor realities. Ian, welcome back to Freedom Works.
It's a delight to be with you again.
It's always a pleasure to have you. I mean, this has got to be so frustrating. You know, this is the land of the free. If the government keeps its tentacles out of the workforce and allows people to work to band together with employers and employees, figuring out how they can best work together to come out with a product that they can sell on the open market. And so we have a lot of people that, you know, that do freelance work, they're independent contractors. But why is it that the federal government wants to grab these people and force them to become what they call full-scale employees?
Yeah, what the National Labor Relations Board is doing is essentially saying to anybody who has who sells a contracted service to a firm that unless some very specific circumstances are met, then they should really probably be an employee of that firm. So, subject to all the things that come with the employment contract, like, you know, you have to work 40 hours a week, your time is your boss's and not your own. And this is something that people have increasingly been rejecting, because they much prefer to be their own boss and to set their own schedules. For instance, for a lot of people, it's essential that they be able to set their own schedules and not be on the hook for 40 hours a week. So the National Labor Relations Board is basically taking a step back to the 1930s and saying that everybody needs to be an employee of a corporation.
Yes, indeed.
When we've moved on.
And you mentioned in this commentary, by the way, which is in the center square, that you've written about, that when a rule was imposed like this in California, it was devastating. Many freelancers lost their livelihoods. They left the state. They went to other places where they felt they had an opportunity to do the kinds of things you're talking about, you know, to be able to do exactly work from home or to do whatever they needed to do to continue. And the funny thing is, when the government tries to do this and becomes so heavy-handed, and they actually deplete the labor force by employers having to cut back on people that they would normally work with, and therefore just the idea that the fewer the people that are working, the fewer the dollars that the federal government will ultimately get anyway.
Well, yeah, this is exactly the problem. Now, if you're an employer, then not only when you take somebody on as an employee as opposed to a contractor, do you have to pay them what you paid them as a contractor, but you also have to pay them all sorts of other things like insurance and so on. And so the costs multiply, which means that basically, if I as somebody who's getting contractors to do my work, can have two contractors, because of the costs, I can only have one employee. So that's one person out of a job.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about these newest, the specific maybe of the new rule. Is there any chance that there could be enough pushback to stop this new rule from even coming into a reality, or is it too far along?
Well, that was certainly the case in California. That they actually passed it not as a rule in California as a law, but the pushback was so great from people in California that they actually had a ballot measure and they got it revoked. The trouble is, there's no such thing as a national ballot measure.
Yeah.
So popular pushback isn't going to work. This is going to have to happen in the courts. You know, there's going to have to be pushback in the courts, and you know, the Labor Relations Board has taken what I think is a pretty extreme position, and so hopefully we'll get a court case sooner rather than later that tells the NLRB no go on this.
Good, that would be great. I hope that is the case. Would it be somebody that would be like an employee that would bring the or a corporation or do you know what entity do you think would end up taking this to court?
Well, I think it would have to be somebody who can prove damages. Mm-hmm. As a result of this, so there'll be plenty of people who can be the standard bearer for this. Just one independent contractor either forced out of their livelihood or forced to become an employee. I think that, you know, that they'll be able to stand up and say, "Hey, look, this rule has really damaged me. It's not necessary, but under the terms of the law, get them to change it."
Yes,
so I think finding somebody with standing is going to be pretty easy on this case.
Sure. We're talking with Ian Murray, Vice President of Strategy and Senior Fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, about what we call anti-employment rules, the feds making life much more difficult. You mentioned in your report and in your story, Ian, about the way things were done back in the 30s, as an example, where everybody from janitor to an accountant was an employee. But now we've got, as an example, janitorial services that will come in and will sell their services to different corporations and companies and come in and do that work. And it's a different kind of world these days, right?
Yes, absolutely. There's a concept that the Nobel Prize-winning economist Ronald Coase came up with, which was transaction costs. And the idea, his question was, why do firms even exist at all? And his answer was transaction costs. You know, if I need tables repaired on a regular basis, you know, I can go and try and find a carpenter to do that, but the transaction costs are used to be quite difficult, so it would make more sense to just hire a carpenter and have them always available to do those table repairs. these days, transaction costs, have, especially through technology, have decreased considerably. So that so independent carpenters are more easy to find. So there's no need to have a carpenter on staff for those occasions when your table legs get a bit wobbly.
Yeah, indeed. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
So the result of this decrease in transaction costs has been an empowerment of people to be their own bosses. We see this in Uber, for example, where it used to be incredibly difficult to find a stranger to give you a ride. That's why taxi firms sprang up. Now with Uber, we can connect somebody who's willing to give people rides, 5 hours a day or something, to people who need rides really easily. So the transaction costs there have significantly decreased.
Yes,
and that's a world of much more independence and much more agency for individual people who just want to provide a service.
So, do the feds think that somehow they're losing out, they're losing money, that somehow if they don't force these independent contractors, these freelancers, to become employees, that somehow they're not going to pay enough in taxes? Is that the idea behind why they want to force them to become integrated into another company?
Well, there are two reasons, I think, that this rule is being promulgated. The first is the pretext, which is that that if you're an independent contractor, you may be missing out on certain benefits like health insurance and retirement plans and things like that. And so that's the idea, that people are being ripped off but by employers if they're just contractors. They're not getting all these wonderful benefits that employers are supposed to, supposed to provide. So that's the pretext, and that's what people like Elizabeth Warren, who really support this rule, are talking about. But we must remember where this is coming from. It's coming from the National Labor Relations
Yes.
Board, which at the moment is controlled by controlled by people who really like labor unions. And the fact is, independent contractors are incredibly difficult to organize as labor union members, so you can't get their dues and their fees.
There you go.
Whereas if they're in a company as an employee, much easier to organize, much easier to target and get those lovely dues rolling in.
Yeah, indeed. And we of course we forget the entire concept of our country, which was freedom, which was allowing people to be independent, to do whatever they, as long as they weren't hurting other people. They form some sort of a relationship with somebody else and do work for them. I mean, that was what made our country so great. That's how innovation came along, and all of the great things that occurred when the federal government was not sticking its nose, into the private sector like it's doing now, and they actually hurt people rather than help them when they claim, well, we're protecting you, from the big bad wolf, the corporation.
Yeah, Adam Smith called this system of one man providing services to another man the system of natural liberty. And in some ways, the era of big corporations, where you submitted your liberty to a boss, and all of a sudden your time wasn't your own anymore. In some ways, that's an aberration from the system of natural liberty.
Yeah.
Falling transaction costs, technological improvements have allowed the system of natural liberty to reassert itself, and a lot of people don't like that.
No, they don't. Well, here's hoping that people like you continue to sound the alarm on this, and that we can stay and maybe move towards even more liberty than we're being allowed these days. I'm praying that we will. But Ian, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so very much. Look forward to our next chat.
Absolute pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
All right. Ian Murray. Going to take our break. When we come back, let's see here. We're going to take a hard look at our national debt. It's over $34 trillion. Does that mean anything to us anymore? We're going to discuss what might really happen to the U.S. economically if it continues on course.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street, in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrews, Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, a coolish Monday here in Tampa Bay. My goodness, it's in the 50s, but we got a guy that might even be in a colder place. We've got our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi joining us from Rochester, New York. How are you, Angelo?
And it was a little bit wet, snow, and cloudy today.
It's a little wet, snow, and cloudy. All right. Well, that's kind of typical for this time of the year, right? What's your temperature?
35 degrees. It's a heat wave. It's warm.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too bad. Doesn't sound too bad. So, what's going on? Have you? What do you think about you're ex-military, of course. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this? This attack, this drone attack that killed three U.S. military service members and injured another 25 or so?
Well, to me, that's called an act of war, and we should retaliate wholeheartedly. We should go after them and just fight the war the way it should be fought.
Do you think the Biden administration is going to do that? Do you have any sense of what they might end up? Do you think they finally, their backs are up against the wall and they're going to have to make a major strike?
Well, they're going to have to do something, but as far as like a major strike, I don't think he's going to do it.
Yeah,
they're not pro-military. You know, I mean, they want to try to appease what's going on. They're telling Netanyahu not to carry on his war. You know, they get attacked, but nobody told us to stop attacking Japan when they attacked us. Right.
That's right.
In 1941, you don't go telling other countries what to do. I mean, nobody told us what to do, did
right.
they?
No.
And if they want a war, so be it. I mean, they started it. We'll finish it.
You know, it's easy. Of course, for all of us that are not in Washington or not directly involved in sending our military somewhere or launching some sort of a weapon, it's easy for us to, you know, to say we need to do this and we need to do that.
Right, the quarterback.
But, yeah, the quarterback. But at this point, I think most people, even those that do not want us to get into any kind of a full-scale war, think we should have some sort of really large-scale response that would really shake Iran and make them realize you're dealing with the wrong country when you start doing this to us.
Well, if the proof is there that Iran is actually telling them what to do, backing them up, I say bomb the heck out of them for a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Show them that we mean business, you know. I mean, you're going to keep killing our people. I mean, how much longer are the American people going to tolerate our people being killed?
Yeah.
Our troops being killed?
Now, Iran claims that it had nothing to do with this. They're trying to wash their hands of the drone attack. Their foreign ministry guy claimed that resistance groups in the region.
All right, the resistance groups, you go after them, annihilate them.
Yeah.
Right? Just annihilate them. Then mm-hmm. what are they going to do?
Yeah.
You know, just annihilate those resistance groups.
Yeah, so, I mean, unless we can come up and say, hey, here's the proof Iran's directly involved. There, even in the United Nations, the Iran mission there said Iran had no connection, nothing to do with the attack on the U.S. base. And it says there's a conflict between U.S. forces and resistance groups in the region, which reciprocate retaliatory attacks. Anyway, you know, we're just getting more and more muddled in all of that over there. You know, our heads are kind of stuck out there, and you know, people are taking pot shots at us. We're sort of sitting there and taking it. You know.
Oh, absolutely. You got to do something. You just can't.
Can't just float around and
take it.
Yeah, you know, either let's do something there or get out. I mean,
if we don't have
a mission there, if we don't have a real specific mission. You know,
it's get the hell out of there, right?
Yeah, why leave our guys there to be sitting ducks?
Right, but if you're not going to protect our guys and they're going to continue getting killed, I mean, come on.
Yeah,
you know, the United States is not what it used to be.
No.
We're turned into a bunch of, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, but we must be the laughing stock of the world.
I think in many ways,
because
you may be right.
We're not, you know, like I've told you before, I've always said, as strong as the United States is, the world is strong.
Right.
And the world is safe.
And
the way we are now, the world is not safe. We're headed for some kind of a conflict. It's got to be. I mean, you got two wars going, one in Europe, one in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And we're sandwiched in between.
Right,
I mean,
you are.
And then the European nations, what are they doing about it?
They've always looked to us, and they've become whatever the word is that, you know, they don't need to get involved because we know good old Mother U.S. will do it for us. I mean, they've just become spoiled.
Right,
so,
I mean...
You know, it's not our affair. It's let the U.S. do it.
The world is a powder keg right now. In Europe, and in the Middle East, it's a powder keg ready to explode, and the United States doesn't know which way to go, and the United States has no way of preventing that powder keg from exploding.
Yeah, Trump says that. We read earlier in the show that Trump says, had he been president, none of this would have happened. None of it.
I would say so. I mean, they were afraid of him, just like the Soviet Union was afraid of Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Look how he broke their backs.
Right.
And sometimes we need a president. You may not like his style or anything like that, but he's there at the right time.
Yes.
And this is what we need right now. I mean, you need strong talk, and you need talk that's going to be backed up. If you say you're going to do something, you do it. You walk softly, but you carry a big stick.
That's right. Talking with our Eye in the Northern Sky, Angelo Ceresi, about what's going on with that attack, that drone attack, that killed three U.S. military people and injured another 25 or so. On another note, Angelo, Joe Manchin, remember him from West Virginia, ex-senator? He's privately making the case that a health scare for Biden or conviction for Trump could give him the opportunity he needs to win a run for the presidency. He reportedly says he can absolutely see himself as president and is telling potential voters that he exercised key influence on everything in Biden's legislative agenda. I wonder if he's just having delusions of grandeur. What do you think?
No, Joe Manchin, he's still a senator, isn't he?
I guess he is still, isn't he? Yes, you're right. I guess he's not planning on running for another term, but you're right.
Right.
He's still a senator, yes.
I mean, for a while, I think he was thinking about running as an independent
candidate.
Yeah,
apparently that's what he's still doing.
And you got him and Kristen Sinema. She's waning in the polls too, right?
Do you think she has Any designs? I did not know that she's even thinking about it.
No, but, you know, Joe Manchin and her were sticking together when they wanted to change the policies in the Senate.
Yeah.
Remember, they wanted to change the option, the nuclear option or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And for voting, you know, to get rules passed and all that.
Yeah.
Maybe those two might be convincing about doing, you know, president and vice presidential candidate on an independent run.
Yeah. Possibly. Does sound like Manchin's very, very serious about it. And
but isn't it kind of late to get in with the primaries going right now?
He would be an independent. He doesn't need any primaries. He would just pop up on the ballot.
And then you got you got to get so many signatures too. You got to have
Get
on these ballots. You got
to
have
right. You have to have enough signatures in every state to be on the ballot. You are right about that.
You know, and I think it's kind of late now. Because like I know in March we start getting our petitions going. You know. You're just talking, you know, some of these states may have already started petitions, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure what their game plan is, but I'm sure Manchin has sat down with his people and figured out when he needs to start getting petitions going in the different states. So this is like, you know, here we are at the end of January. So we got, February through some point in the summer that he would, you know, between now and, say, late summer he would need to have gotten all of the states with enough signatures, do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, here's the thing. You got, who's the black guy, the professor that's running? He's running for prison. Cornell
West.
Yeah, you got him running.
Yes.
You got RFK running.
Yes.
Now you're going to have Joe Manchin running. I mean,
yes.
Do these people really think, I mean, here's the thing. When they start running for office, okay, as an independent and everything, people can vote for them and say, well, I'm not going to vote for Trump or Biden, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to cast my vote for this person. You're actually throwing it away, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you only got two parties in this country, the Republican and the Democratic Party. I call it the Democratic Communist Party now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the party is not that of John F. Kennedy or Truman or Roosevelt. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's the party of AOC, Talib, and all these other radicals.
Well, of course, this is what Manchin is saying. He's a moderate. He's actually one of the few moderates. That's why he thinks he can garner enough votes from not just moderate Democrats, but from obviously from Republicans as well.
There's not that, he may think there's a lot of moderate Democrats. There isn't.
No.
If you have seen the way the Democratic Party has gone way over to the left, way over. I mean, you got the media, you got the sports people, you got the Hollywood people. There are no more moderates in the Democratic Party, just as there's not that many moderates in the Republican Party. Like, Rockefeller used to be a moderate Republican. Remember Nelson Rockefeller?
Oh, yes.
But there is no more moderates. You're either way over to the left or you're way over to the right. You know, but I think the Republican Party still offers more because we're for the country. We're more for the Constitution, to keep the laws that we have. We don't want to change our country and to destroy our statues and take away our signature, so to speak, our identity.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
we were the United States of America, red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
They're turning it into, all wokeness, critical race theory, this and that, you know, gender identity. It's not what this country was. Look what happened with Bud Light when they put that person on to be their spokesperson, right? The advertising. They lost billions of dollars. American people, the United States is not for that. People don't realize that, and I think the Republican Party, which we have to get back to our roots, you know, what this country was founded for. I mean, these founding fathers, granted, it's not the most perfect country around, but for the last 200 semi years, we've done pretty good, you know?
Absolutely. Yep.
I mean, yes, we do have our faults. We have this, we have that. I mean, you know, they're trying to divide this country more so by giving reparations and doing this and doing that. I mean, you're just getting people all bent out of shape. Instead of unifying the country, they're dividing the country.
Yes.
And that's exactly what they want. This is the Democratic playbook. This is the playbook out of this guy. I forget what his name was.
Yeah, I know who you mean. The guy back in the...
back in the 60s.
His radical, Rules for Radicals.
Right.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name either, but yes.
But this is what the Democrats are doing right now, and this is what they're running. Look at Biden.
Yeah.
Well, see, I saw an article the other day. I don't know if it was Newsweek magazine or Politico, some writer was writing, well, if America votes for Trump, they deserve what they get. Well, we already deserve what we got, right?
I guess
look what's
we
happening.
Do. Yeah.
They don't say what's happening in this country. You know, I mean, it's just like New York State. They have people that they had to go for a pistol permit. Now, you have to take a 16-hour course, a written course and a shooting course, you know, safety course, and the whole nine yards. That costs $400. Then it's another couple hundred dollars to get a permit application, and another couple hundred dollars to do this. Actually, what they're doing is pricing it right out. They want to take the guns away from people, right? They price it so out of a person's reach. And it's a constitutional right. This is what the Democrats are doing. Just like the automobile. They want you to drive, they want to have zero emissions by what, 2030? Zero emissions. How much can the working person have? They don't want you to drive. They want zero emissions. These are these radicals that, you know, while the rest of the world is using coal and oil and everything else, they want zero emissions, which means nobody can drive.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Angelo, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so very, very much. Need more people like you out there, believe me. And hopefully
we'll start turning things around here. I wish we could light a fire under the people that want to vote for the Democrats. They got to wake up. Do they really believe that this is going to happen?
Yeah.
You know?
I do. Well, thank you, my friend.
You're quite welcome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Have a good week. Yes, sir. Same to you.
Take care.
All right. All right. We're going to take our break, and we will indeed talk about the national debt in our next and final segment here on Freedom Works.
Looking out across the night, city winds asleep as I.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back to the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. We thank you when you are available to listen to us live. But if you are not able to listen live, thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are put on podcast. That means all you've got to do at your leisure, go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. You'll see the podcast button at the very top. Click on it. It'll open up. You'll see the most recent shows at the top. You'll know who the guest is and the topic with the guest and the top 10, the whole bit. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, it looks like House Republicans are going to push ahead with impeaching Mayorkas, our Homeland Security Secretary, who keeps claiming a border is secure. Yeah, sure it is, Mr. Secretary. The Republicans unveiled articles of impeachment yesterday, introduced by Mark Green. He's a Republican from Tennessee. They accused Mayorkas of, quote, willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law and the breach of public trust. In fact, the first article says this: throughout his tenure as secretary, Mayorkas has repeatedly violated laws enacted by Congress regarding immigration and border security. In large part because of his unlawful conduct, millions of aliens have illegally entered the U.S. on an annual basis, with many unlawfully remaining in the U.S. His refusal to obey the law, not only an offense against the separation of powers in our Constitution, but it also threatens our national security. Now, House Speaker Mike Johnson says that he intends to hold a House-wide vote on whether or not to go ahead with impeaching Mayorkas, quote, as soon as possible. So there you go. We'll keep an eye on that one. So, the U.S. national debt, it is climbing at an astronomical pace. It shows no sign of slowing down. And it is now at about $34.135 trillion. That's as of last Thursday. That is up about $47 billion the previous day. So do you understand? We are actually, day by day, we are adding about $50 billion each day. $50 billion to our national debt. By comparison, just four decades ago, you know what our national debt was? Four decades ago? $907 billion. Now it's $34 trillion. This increase is what prompted Fitch Ratings in the middle of last year to lower our credit rating from its top-rated AAA down to AA+. And at the time they did that, Fitch cited alarm over the country's deteriorating finances and expressed concerns over the government's ability to address the debt burden. Now, the latest findings from the Congressional Budget Office show that the national debt is going to nearly double in size over the next three decades. Wow. That's just scary. At some point, we got to realize something's got to be done. Now, as of September of last year, as of September 2022, Biden at that point had already approved about almost $5 trillion in borrowing, including about $1.9 trillion for COVID relief. Now, while that is about half of the $7.5 trillion under Trump during his 4 years, at the rate that Biden is going, it's going to be far more than what Trump had ended up approving at the rate that Biden is going. So there you go. I don't know. I guess we should, we talk about it. It's like the weather. We don't do anything about it. Nothing about it. All right. Enough of that. It is going to be time here for our top 10, Ed. But before we do that, were you watching those two conference championship football games? And so we now have our Super Bowl teams, do we not?
I did. I tried to stay awake for a long work week, but I tried to stay awake as much as I could. But I was happy to see that the Chiefs won, because that blew away the conspiracy theory that everybody was talking about in the NFL being rigged, because the Super Bowl logo came out about 4 weeks ago, and it was the colors of the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh.
So people are saying that it was rigged.
It was fixed, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think what they do is 4 weeks ago, they probably picked the top two teams and used those colors just as an off chance.
Of course.
That,
yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. But, did you find that the Baltimore Ravens, they got penalized a few times in their game.
Yeah.
They kind of took themselves out of it. Also, on the other in the other game, Detroit had an opportunity. They were up, 14-0?
They were up 24-7. And people were thinking, oh, this one's over. And I think maybe some of the Detroit players thought it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of let their guard down. Before you knew it, they'd answered. It was tied, and then San Francisco went ahead.
I was rooting for Detroit because I don't think they've ever played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay, time for our top 10. And we think it's a good one. The top 10 deadliest national parks. Outdoor clothing brand KUHL, believe it or not, looked at different criteria and came up with a list of the top 10 deadliest national parks. So here we go, number 10. Mount Rainier National Park in Washington. They have an active volcano. Don't fall into it. Mount Rainier is the most glaciated peak in the contiguous USA, but it has a probability of 1 in every 317,000 visitors. So there you go. Number 9. We go to Texas, Guadalupe Mountains National Park. It has the world's most extensive, what they call, Permian fossil reef and forests. Chance of getting knocked off in Guadalupe, 1 in 514,000. Number 8, Kings Canyon National Park in California. You go there, your chances of dying, 1 in 220,000. Number 7. Denali National Park. That's in Alaska.
Mm.
Denali is the site of Mount McKinley, which is our tallest mountain.
Mm.
And your death probability, 1 in 119,000. Number 6. Big Bend National Park in Texas. Death probability there, 1 in 218,000. Number 5. Dry Tortugas National Park in Florida. It's out near Key West. Crystal clear blue water, abundant ocean life, but be careful. Chances of dying, 1 in 184,000. Number 4, North Cascades National Park in Washington. Chances of dying there, 1 in 18,000. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not right. That's a mis. It's got to be 1 in 180,000. Okay, number 3. Isle Royale National Park in Michigan. It's a remote island cluster. Came in third in the list. Probability of death, 1 in 163,000. There's actually a tie for number 1.
Okay.
And here we go. Wrangell St. Elias National Park in Alaska and Grand Canyon National Park in Arizona. I wouldn't want to fall into the Grand Canyon. The chances of dying in either case is 1 in 126,000 people. Well, there you go. So if you go and visit those parks, watch your step. Thanks for listening. We'll be back Wednesday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. Dramatic new testimony this morning in a double murder case.
South Carolina Judge Gene Toll is questioning jurors who convicted Alec Murdoch of fatally shooting his wife and his son. He's seeking a new trial, alleging jury tampering by a county clerk.
Was your verdict influenced in any way by the communications of the clerk of court in this case?
Yes, ma'am.
And how was it influenced?